Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
I'm going to read the Gospel of Luke in chapter 15. We'll read verses 11 down through 32. It says, Then he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all his possessions gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and enjoyed himself to a citizen of that country, and when he had sent him to the fields to feed swine, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but nobody gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Then he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. Yet you never gave me a young goat so that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, because for your brother was dead and is alive again, and that which was lost and is now found and is found. It's a great confluence of people's feelings and emotions, and it's so accurate. It's so deadly accurate, sort of revealing feelings that we have a tendency to have during whenever we are blessed or we're in want or someone else is blessed or someone else is in want, how our feelings tend to flow. It's tremendously insightful. So this is famously called the prodigal son, and the word prodigal means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, wastefully and extravagant, having or giving something on a lavish scale, a person who spends money in a reckless, extravagant way. Okay, so here's his father, who was obviously very wealthy. And you know that is a picture of God, right? This is a picture of God. And, you know, God is the most wealthy, right? I mean, God is the most wealthy. I mean, there's nothing, no entity in the universe more wealthy than God. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. I mean, that's a wealthy God. A God who made everything, who made every, you know, every star in the sky and every grain of dust on the earth. That's a rich guy. Made all the gold, made all the silver, made every human being to have these amazing brains of imagination and knowledge and thoughtfulness. And I mean, this God that we serve is an amazing God. And there are a number of ways that we can approach our life in God. And one of the ways is to become, after a while, resentful at belonging to God. Because in God's house, if you're going to live in God's house, there is structure. Structure is a good thing. Structure is rules, you know. But there is something about wanting the things that the world takes pleasure in that we know that our God does not take pleasure in. And there is a fire that can be lit, a pilot light that can be lit in your heart, that can grow inside of you, that can cause really a resentment toward the things that we aspire to be in the body of Christ, the way that we aspire to live our lives. And, you know, it's important that you understand that this young man was cutting himself off from his father. He was literally disowning his father. He wasn't just going on a trip saying, Dad, I want to be a, you know, I'm going to, you know, go with my buddies this week, you know, to the track or something like that. He was disowning his father. He was saying, give me my inheritance now because I am out of here. Really what he was saying. It's very much more serious than it sounds when you read it just, you know, you read it superficially. He was saying, give me now everything that's mine to give me. And because it was only a few days later, you know, maybe there was some kind of a struggle inside of him, but I don't think so. I think he had already made up his mind. Because the light, when the light is lit inside of you, and when it grows to a certain point inside of you, and you've made a decision that you're going to do that thing that you know that is not acceptable in your father's house, the Bible says, if you're not intentionally growing in holiness, you grow corrupt. The Bible says you grow corrupt. The older you get, the more corrupt that you become. You know, I don't know. You know, you see somebody who's elderly, who hasn't grown old well, and they can be some of the most nasty people on the planet. And I'm not, you know, there are nasty young people too, but there's something that happens to a person as they grow up and they hold on to these resentments. The resentments, they just grow inside. And I think this young man, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So his father did it. His father said, okay, he must have been of age, obviously. He must have been of age. He divided them his livelihood. And, you know, so this is what the fathers work for. And I got to tell you something. You're wealthy. I mean, the Father in heaven has, there's no shortage. There are no shortages in heaven. There's nothing that God won't do for you. You know, we read down at the end, the older brother, the father says, son, you could have had this anytime you wanted. It's all yours anyway. You know, you could really, we could have done this anytime you wanted. But he was resentful because his father was so happy, so pleased that his reckless brother had had returned. I want to tell you something. If you'd ever learn about prayer, if you'd ever just take my word for it about prayer, and you'd implement it as a part of your life, and I'm not talking about, oh, you know, the most common prayer, oh God, if it be thy will. You know, we're always giving God a cop-out, an escape route, because either we don't trust him or we don't think that he'll listen to us. So we're not really that positive about his love for us and about his word that says, you know, say unto this mountain, move, be removed and cast into the sea. If you don't doubt in your heart, but believe the things you say will be done, you will have whatsoever you say. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. What does that look like? It doesn't look like folks who live the same kind of life as our neighbors live, who are not a part of God's family, and just live with a hope for heaven one day. That's not what we're talking about. You know, we said a few weeks ago, last time I preached, that we've been given a new vocation. Our vocation is bringing the kingdom of God to earth. That's our new vocation. That's your job. That's what you've been called to do. You will go to heaven one day. I want to go to heaven too one day. You know, but not, maybe not today. That'd be okay if it's not today. You know, but my vocation, meanwhile, is to set things in order on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we literally have a new vocation. We have a vocation that wherever we have influence, first of all, in our own lives, in our own reckless hearts, that we bring our own reckless hearts under subjection to God, and bring our thoughts and our mind into order with God. And when we do that, then you begin to see literally the power quotient begins to emerge. And it's not that you're going to go through, you're not going to not go through hard times. You're not going to have everything perfect for the rest of your life, but your life will be marked with God's footprints. So help me God. Your life will be marked with good things from God. So help me God. God comes. God shows himself. God's promises are true. God's promises are yes, and God's promises are amen. There's nothing that God has promised you that he won't do. And he visits and then returns and then returns and then returns and then returns and then returns. And you learn to live in his house, and you become content in his house. But you see, we have a prodigal son here who was living in this really wealthy man's house, his father's house, this prodigal son, and he was tired of it. He heard the stories about the parties that were going on. He's like, why can't I have those parties? Why can't I have? I mean, the world is having a ball out there, aren't they? I mean, look at the lights of Las Vegas. Isn't that the greatest? I mean, couldn't that be the greatest thing that anybody could ever imagine? Don't go into Vegas and my, oh goodness. And that's what the prodigal son really wanted. He was like, I'm sick of this order. I'm sick of living under dad's rules. And so the father said, okay, you know, I'll give you the livelihood. He spent all, and you know, as soon as you spend, you know, you're riding high off the hog and you're spending and you're life of the party, and all of a sudden you run out of money. And that's when the famine hits. Ain't it? You know. He joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him to his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but nobody gave him anything. They wouldn't even let him eat the swine food that he was feeding the swines with. He couldn't even cop a pod of swine food. Dude was hungry. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, Eureka, hey, I have, whoop. He said, I remember my father's servants. My father was so good, even his servants had extra bread. They had bread enough to eat and more. I'll go to my father and I'll beg him to give me a job as a servant. Maybe he'll give me a job as a servant. Because he had literally cut himself off from his father. He said, give me my stuff because I don't like this, all these rules, all this righteous living. Oh, righteous living. We've got to say prayers tonight, huh? Righteous living. I got to get out of here. And he came to himself, said, hey, I remember. So younger son was impetuous. He lacked, I have a minute to read almost all of my notes. The younger son was impetuous. He lacked patience. Can I tell you something? If you're in this walk, the walk that we're walking, the Christian walk, is going to take a little time. It's going to take a little time for you to come into yourself and for you to begin to feel God lifting you up from underneath. It's going to take a little while. It does. It takes patience. What this young man didn't have was patience. He wanted to get out there. He was ready for the world. Come on, world, I'm going to take you on. And it's great. He didn't realize he was rich because he had his dad's money, right? He resented his home life. His home life had structure of a Christian home. We don't curse in our home. We don't lie. We don't berate church members. We don't berate people in our home. We're a Christian home. We're a believer's home. There's holiness there. Believe it or not, holiness, you can actually live in holiness. It's not a myth. It's not a myth. You can actually live in holiness. You don't have to live a duplicitous life where you let yourself down and let yourself go whenever you walk into your home and, you know, you pick up your old beggar's garment that you used to wear. You can live in holiness. He thought his father was holding him back, and this young man burned with passion for the dainty morsels of the world. He was rejecting his... He was rejecting his father, much more serious than it sounds. He was emancipating himself. He had no intention ever to return. He really hated and resented the structure of his father's house. He wanted to be free. Everyone out there is having so much fun. Party, party, party. Reject the old ways, the pathways that are tried and true. He could have been safe and secure, maturing in his time, but he wanted to enjoy his youth. I'm young. I got to do this. I'm supposed to do this. I'm young. I'm supposed to party. I'm supposed to not have any rules. I'm supposed to go off to some university and throw away every bit of Christianity that I've ever had and just, you know, party day and night and all of that. That's a scam. It's a lie. He was only concerned with this present life. The young son was lost. He ate the forbidden fruit, did not trust his father's wisdom. He knew better. You see, as soon as you begin to question God's word, you're beginning to light the fire of the prodigal son. This is where you find truth. This is where you find health. This is where you find hope. This is where you find Jesus. This is where you find eternal life. Every word. There's not a mistake. There's not a jot or tittle. There's not a period or a comma. That's not true in here. So he ate the forbidden fruit. What is the forbidden fruit? Questioning God's word. Questioning it. He's saying, I really don't believe this part. It's not realistic. It's not realistic for me to live this way. It's just not realistic. Not in this day and age. I mean, we're smart now. We've been to the moon. He repents, and it's beautiful that wherever you are in your life, the Father is looking for you. Because it said the Father saw him from a long way away. His Father saw him coming home. And his Father didn't have some pride on him. Okay, he spent all his stuff. I'm gonna show him a thing or two. I'm gonna turn my back on him when he comes in begging. No, the Father ran to him. That's how much God loves you. The Father ran to him. He saw him turning and coming home. He said, my son is coming home. And the Father ran to him. And he grabbed him around his neck. He said, kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger. Put a robe on his back. For this my son who was lost and now is returned. He said, Father, I'm not worthy to even be a servant in your house. Please. Please, Father, I've been so bad. And the Father says, no, come. We're going to have a party for you. We're going to invite everyone. My son was dead and is now alive. He was lost and now he's found. You can't be too lost for God. But you gotta come home. You gotta come home. And then we'll see people who are doing our church work with the older brother. And the pressure on us is, what are you making such a big deal out of him? This guy was a criminal. You know, this guy was a crook. This guy was a bad person. This guy lived in immorality for years and years and years. Where's the fatted calf for me? I get no fatted calf. I don't get no fatted calf. And the Father says, anytime you've ever wanted, you could have had a fatted calf, son. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. All you got to do is pray for it. Pray for it. Trust me. Believe for it. Yeah? We all got a little of the prodigal son in us, and we all got a little of the older brother in us. Sad but true. Read it and weep. My teacher used to say as he handed out the test scores. He used to say, read them and weep. Mr. Gunderman, never forget it. Read them and weep. So we have to watch out for the trap of the older brother. And we have to also watch out always for the trap of the prodigal son. I'm getting tired of having to live this way, on and on. There's no place that you can live better than in the house of God. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I thank you. I thank you for this prodigal son who had the sense. How embarrassing it must have been for him to come home and to lower himself before his father again after having wasted millions of dollars on prodigal living, on wasteful living, wasting his father's hard-earned, hard-saved inheritance, and then to even trust his father's character enough to come home and say, Father, please forgive me. Lord Jesus, what a picture of your love for us. We ask that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. We ask that you'd cause us to grow as individuals, as children of yours, not as prodigals, Lord God, and not even as older sons, but we see our friends and our brothers getting blessed, that we just enter into their joy. Father, enter into their happiness. Lord God, that we would be the people who would represent you very, very well here in our area, in our community. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Today's message is titled, The Root of Resentment. Pastor Bob shared the parable of the prodigal son, showing us how both brothers in the story made different decisions but were both dealing with their own issues of resentment. We have the younger brother, who wanted to do things his own way, only to find his way home through repentance to his father. And the older brother, who in his own frustration fights his own battle of resentment when his younger brother returns home. The great thing about this story is that while both brothers are dealing with their own issues, the father's answer to them both is the same. Whether we've ran from God our Father in heaven and spoiled all of our life to date trying to do things our own way like the younger brother, or maybe like the older brother, we've tried to prove to God that he can love us because that what we have done for him, when in fact God is the one who is our provider, we need to just ask him for the things that we need. So often we get in our own way, trying to prove to God that we are deserving of his grace. But grace, by definition, is undeserved favor. Whether you feel more like the older brother, trying to work for God's acceptance, or like the younger brother, are far from God and feel too dirty or downcast to come in contact with him, the message God wants to share with you today is the same. It's not about what you've done. It's about who God is and what Jesus did for you. When Jesus died on the cross, it was to forgive you of all your sin. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I invite you to pray with me today. Repent of your sinful patterns in your life and turn to Jesus. Pray, Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I repent for my sins today, and I ask that you would cleanse me by your blood. I believe you died as a sacrifice for my sins, and I receive the free gift of salvation purchased by Jesus' death. I walk forward today as a new creation in you. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would fill me with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd encourage you to start a prayer life, start reading your Bible, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free, online, and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. If this podcast has ministered to you, would you consider giving to the work of spreading God's word? You can give online and learn more about On Fire Radio, Catskill Mountain Christian Center, and our other ministries by going to www.cmcconline.org. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jacob Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.